Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy 6. This week's episode is brought to you by Tribe Rivers Counseling. Make sure you follow them on all social media platforms. And hey, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and follow Jesus Plus Therapy 6 on all social media and podcast platforms. We need those numbers. Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy 6, and I'm so excited. Y'all know, for the last couple of weeks, I've had all my sisters on here, and so as my host, she's not the co-host, she's another host to the podcast, as she's been gone dealing with some family issues, my sisters have been coming through, and y'all, we got some brothers coming. They just a little stubborn and a little busy, little booked to busy, but they are coming. I'm so excited that tonight I get my sister. Y'all, if I had described this sister, she is, what is she to me? She is my therapist. She is my exchange of information partner. No, we do not gossip. We just exchange information and ideas. The Lord is still working on us. That's what we talked about a couple of nights ago. She and I have really become close in the last, a year and a half, 2 years. We've known each other for a while, but you know, God always has his perfect timing when it comes to friendships. And I'm so grateful that in this season, why am I about to cry? In this season, she has definitely been beyond a friend, beyond a sister. She has stepped up to the plate of things that I needed in my life. When I said I needed a certain friend in my life, she was like, I can be that girl. And so she has definitely been that and more. And we, for some odd reason, we make it a habit to at least talk to each other 3 to 4 times a week. We are both therapists. Our schedules are booked and busy, but some, when we had them cancellations, we were like, you got a cancellation, girl, you free? And it's just when we need to talk, God literally makes space for us to do that. And so I'm so grateful to have my sister, D'Andrea James Smith. I always get your name. Jamie Smith, because
it's James and Smith
together, so I want to make it stupid fancy.
Jamie.
And I know how to spell it, y'all. I spell it right. I just don't ever say it right. So I'm so excited to have you on, sis. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. Excited to be a part of this journey.
Y'all, and y'all can see her in her cold, swishy face.
This is my face.
Your face, like, why your face so, like, so professional? Like, yes, thank you so much. Like, girl, we sit up here and talk all day, every day for hours. And you be it all professional with the people. This our house, girl. You supposed to be relaxed, relate, and release.
Okay. I'm relaxed, relate, release. I'm ready.
Listen, tonight, y'all, we are gonna talk about the 6 month. But for some reason, I really want to talk about friendships. And I don't know, is it because of us or what happened Sunday? So Sunday had the awesome experience of being a speaker at a boss business entrepreneur workshop with 4 awesome ladies. And in that experience, one of the ladies who's going through entrepreneurship came to the host of the event, and she embraced her and hugged her. But in the midst of her hugging the participant, she started to cry. And she said, hey, y'all, I need y'all to come and hug on her and love on her. And I did, and we did. We got up and we loved on her. And for some reason, I went in. And I wasn't trying to. I was like, this is not the subject. This ain't the time nor the place to be going in. But I felt the weight of her heaviness. Like, she just was so heavy. And so it just, you know, I know we're supposed to talk about the 6 months and we'll talk about that, but I really want to just dive into connections and friendships and what that look like for the 6 months. So we know that we are halfway through the year of 2022. As my sister said, we are approaching the end of the second quarter. What does 6 months look like for you, sis? Like,
ooh, I'm gonna be real here. I set goals the first month of the year, and if I'm sitting here being honest, thinking about most of them, they are not at the forefront. Some things are, some are not. I'm scattered. So much has happened that keeps distracting and pushing me off of the path that I had set in January. And so I'm going to say I'm struggling to get back to that path, because every time I take 3-4 steps towards the path, something else happens. Maybe not something in my world, but something in the world we all live in. And it just throws me right back off. So I'm off kilter. Where do you think you are?
Ooh, sis, I'm with you. You know, we're both working towards a licensure that we've been working on. And she read me, y'all. She's like, I'm so glad you got some fire back into you.
Okay. I was trying to motivate.
Y'all, it wasn't the words, it was the tone of the words, okay? And baby, if y'all only knew my sister, she can be petty unintentionally. Like, you just be like, that was real. I felt some type of way. And she'll be like, why? Why did you think? I was just motivating you. Sis, I am, and I feel you. Like, so much has happened. It's so much uncertainty in the atmosphere. It feels like we cannot catch a breath or a break, or it's just like, is summertime requiring us? I don't know. It's because these kids in school late. I don't know. Like, it's so much, like these guns shooting, like, it's just a lot. Like, it's a lot. And you have a baby and a baby on the way. And I'm sure, you know, everything we talked about it, you were just like superly emotional and nervous and fretful about and frustrated and all these other mixed roller coaster emotions about everything that has happened. And so we don't hear about the shooting that happened in Louisiana. We don't hear about the shootings. Like, there have been 4 shootings since the shooting that happened in Texas.
Right.
And we become so numb to this that we don't know what to do with this news. Like, what you want me to do with that? Like, I'm still trying to get over these babies. Like, you want me to add more to the plate?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still in New York at the grocery store. I haven't left Buffalo. So Texas was, I didn't know how to absorb that. And it was Sunday, ironically, Pentecost Sunday, you know, 50 days after, and in the middle of church, breaking news, another shooting. So I don't know what to do with it. Amen. It's like, you don't want to watch the news. And I don't watch the news. I do social media, but not excessively, but it doesn't matter what you do. It's going to come to you. Somebody's going to say it. It's going to happen.
Right. And so how do we refresh from that, right? So 6 months is the best time to refresh yourself, to rejuvenate yourself, to re-gear yourself, to re-energize yourself. But how do we do that when it all keeps coming back to the same results of mourning and grief and heaviness and anxiety and depression?
You have to find a new way to, what's the word I want to say here, to stimulate growth, because everything that's happening is causing us, is pushing us to grow, either grow in perception or grow in your capability to be of the world, but not in it, in the world, not of it. I don't even know how to say that phrase correctly, but that's just where we're at this point. These things are going to happen. And unfortunately, it looks like they're going to keep happening. So we just have to stimulate a new way, a new method, a new mode of survival, absorption, but not devastation. I told a client earlier today, the stronger the fortress is, the less damage the bomb does. So we just have to make our fortress so strong that when stuff is hitting it, yes, it hurts it. It may dent it, but it doesn't destroy it. And that's hard. That's hard.
So FYI, we're both clinicians. So yes, she's a therapist as well. Yay. Yay. Go us therapists. I definitely agree with what you said. Like, you have to be in the fortress being as believers, faith. Like, we have to be the fortress of faith. Right. So I was reading the Bible verse. No. I was watching Sweet Magnolia. Y'all, if you've never watched Sweet Magnolia on Netflix, go watch it. Like, it is literally. And so I thought we were done with It Is Well, because they played it like two episodes back to back. And I heard it still in the background on another episode after we had been, like, we had sung It As Well in a while. And I said, man, God, here you go with that song again. And why am I about to cry? Because here's the thing, the fortress that I know that was a great reminder in the show was It Is Well. And so when you're a believer, that fortress right then in that moment of listening to all this bad news. And like you said, I haven't left New York either. I haven't processed Buffalo yet. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how you're justifying the actions. I'm still trying to figure out how this white male was able to be captured, handcuffed, and put in a police car quietly and safely after this huge, humongous, devastating act. I'm still trying to process that part. And I really feel like had the dude from Texas not taking his life, he would have
been dead anyway.
Correct. And so he would have not made it to a station to get the justice of being on trial and being in the space of jurors that look like him. And so, with that being said, watching Sweet Magnolia, and they play It As Well, but one thing they said, one of the cats said, that faith is the conviction, that part, the conviction of the things you cannot see. And that just kind of sat with me, like the conviction. And when I think about the conviction of something, that means it has to move, it has to grow, it has to tear down some things. When I'm convicted by something, something is being torn down, something is being ripped that I'm comfortable with, something is making me become alive and unnumb and get out of complacency. So when he said that, I said, so faith is the conviction of me being complacent. And so going back to what you were saying, Dee, that the fortress. So the fortress is the place of my conviction. It's a place where I understand I'll be hit. I understand the arrows may come, but they won't form into a place of damaging me, right? So the weapons will be formed, but they won't damage me. They may even throw the weapons at me, but they won't be damaged. And so seeing it from that aspect.
Which is hard. Because we're believers, but we're human.
Right.
And even Jesus, you know, when he was up there, you know, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. It's going to hurt. I'm afraid. I don't want it. That was Jesus. So I nowhere near that. Yeah, he really nowhere near that at all.
Right.
But if he felt like that, I don't understand. You know, it's not easy for for us to say we should just have faith and be done with it. It's just not like that. And the difference is he could have just removed himself. And that would have been the end of it. So, but you have to find that thing that recharges you, that renews that faith continually. You have to go back to the fount over and over and over again to build that fortress. You have to always be working on it. Always. Because if you pause for just a moment, anything could come and hit. What is it? Spiritual warfare is always going on. On our behalf. But you got to be doing your part too.
Right. The work of the work. And we talk about that all the time. We've always been taught as therapists, if you are working harder than the client, stop doing the work because they're not willing to do it. And that's hard to do when you know the potential of the client, right? Like, we may know the potential of a client and be like, I know they can do this. Like, all I need is this, this, and this. And so we find ourselves giving them the tools, but we're working the tools that we already know how to work for them on their behalf. And now there's this level of dependency that they have. And so when you're talking about Jesus, that's so great that you brought that up. Like, because people don't want to know, like, Jesus was human. Like, I think we forget that. We want to say he wept and that's it, but we don't want to talk about it in the garden when he was depressed in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point he had a panic attack that the sweat ended up being like blood, right? We don't want to talk about that part. Like, Jesus had a whole mental breakdown in the garden.
I mean, that's where you have that, cherry picking? You want to pick what you want to talk about. We got to talk about all of it. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it is necessary. But that's why he came. We needed a human example.
Right.
But it's hard to not see him as the deity that he was. And I get that. But we have to be realistic because he was the example. What did he do to get through that?
So I just got this idea, and you tell me what you think. Y'all know we record at night and everything's just off the top of the dome. Do you think the cross was a place of refreshing for Jesus? And I mean it in the sense of, do you feel like because he was able to die, because the cross represents death, right? That was the main purpose of him coming. And I don't think we realize that, right? His purpose was not to perform miracle signs and wonders. Those were bonuses. His main purpose was to live to die.
Right.
It wasn't even, nowhere did it say win souls and make disciples. That wasn't the purpose of Christ.
No.
The whole purpose of Christ was to reunify us with the Father. That was the whole purpose of him coming, was for reunification. But in that reunification, he educated, he connected, and he touched, right? And so I think a lot of times we miss that part of Jesus, but I really feel like the cross was a refresher for him. And what I mean by that, it was the reset. It was like, oh my gosh, my job has done. My assignment is not just complete. It carries over until I come back again.
His legacy was built.
Right. So when I think of refreshing or a refreshing moment, so those 6 months, I think that this part of the year is my time to rebuild me and my legacy. It's my time to re-identify what I'm really focused on versus what's realistically for me to focus on.
I think that's a good place to be. As we said earlier, it's the second quarter of the year ends in about 2 weeks. And even though we are not where we would like to be, on those goals we set in quarter one, we still have 2 quarters left. So this is a good time to take that refresh moment, whatever that representation is for us. He already went to the cross, so we don't have to. but utilizing that example to start rebuilding, I think that's a good place. I think that's a very good place to be. What do you think the first steps of that would look like?
I think it's coming to a place of reality. Like, I think so many times in January, we set unrealistic expectations of ourselves.
Yes, God.
Like, we know our capabilities, but we don't evaluate our mindset. Capability and mindset don't equate realistic expectations, because our ability may be, heck, for us, our ability is to be finished and licensed in California by now. But the expectations of life, if we calculate the realistic expectations of life, no, that ain't gonna happen. Because we know what happens between your whole birthday. You got two birthdays you gotta celebrate. You got a whole baby on the way. You was trying to get, like, it's so much more to this. And but in January, our realistic is the goal we said was to be licensed in two states, one being California. We knew that by June of this year, when we already knew they was already backed up, right? You already 2 years behind. So that's not, even if we did our part, it doesn't mean that the other parts, we still have other entities we have to calculate in. And so I think that's the thing, that's a great example of unrealistic expectations. So knowing our capability is to get everything done, but realistically, we have to calculate who else is involved in this process and if they're willing to do the work as well.
Potholes. Potholes and detours.
Right.
But that's the problem. Sometimes you and the people involved have the best intentions. You don't know this big boulder is up here in the road. You don't know that there's construction right here. You're going to have to go around this way or back that way. You don't know. It makes me think about last year, friends and family were coming down for Bailey's party, and y'all was on this little 45 to an hour drive for what, like 3-4 hours? So we
didn't know what we was gonna do.
Right. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes there is no possibility of preparation. But again, that's why the fortress is important. You have to ever build it, ever be stacking it. Mm-hmm. Think about back in the day, or even now, I don't know if they still have fortresses, probably in other countries, not here. But you know, the fortress is strong, it's over here by itself. They got food, they got water, some extra guns or knives or whatever the thing is. It's set somewhere where it can be defended easily. So it's above things. It's a completely safe place. And that's how we have to get, that's the level we have to get ourselves to. So that things will, like you say, roll out.
You know, when you were describing the fortress, I literally saw a posture of surrendering. Right? So, and I say that because you say there's a strong place, it's off to itself. You say it's above, but it's a safe space. And so I think about worship. I think about surrendering. What's the best posture to be in when you are in worship? Is prostrate in a surrendering space, right? Literally laying yourself down and saying, here I am. But you become ultimately vulnerable in that space, in that posture, right? Yeah. And so, so when you're at a fortress, you're saying, I become vulnerable to the work of what this thing is supposed to do. And this thing is supposed to protect me. I'm not anxious. I'm not scared. I'm not frustrated when I'm in my fortress, because guess what it's supposed to do? If I've done the work right, it's supposed to be my most vulnerable, safe space that I don't have to be in a place or position of control. All I have to do is surrender, right? To the protection of the fortress. So I think that's something we forget in the 6 months. We don't surrender in 6 months. We're too busy trying to wrap up the 6 months to prepare for the last month. We already there, people getting ready for the new year. Like, I mean, if you want to do the Hebrew calendar, okay, cool, because the new year's in September. So if you're going to be that, if you're going to be that person, yes, it's in September. So yes, you can get ready for the new year. But if you are the type that you're getting ready for the linear calendar new year, then you ahead of schedule. You have 6 whole months to prepare to complete a task that you still have time to complete. And I think what happens with people is they're so caught up in, okay, well, yeah, I didn't do what I said I was going to do with such time. So let me just go on and reset already. Reset and refresh is not the same thing, but a lot of times people want to say they are, and we have to be in that space of realizing the difference between the two. Reset means I start all over. Refresh means I catch my breath, I rest a little, but I'm going to continue on the journey that I already started.
I love it. You know, I love me some Alabama football. And something that Nick or and his players, everybody says, we all say it. We play all 4 quarters. We play the whole game. And yes, quarter 2 is about to be over. The game isn't over. It's 4 quarters to this game. We got to play the whole game. So yes, not reset, but refresh. I love that. I love that. But going back again, thinking about David in Psalms, you're my refuge and my fortress.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need anything else. He didn't have a reason to be afraid. He had everything he needed, and he was able to be in that prostrate stance and feel safe. But what a juxtaposition that is, the fortress, but you're prostrate, because that doesn't usually come together, right? That's usually, well, if I'm in the fortress, I'm strong, I'm powerful. No, I'm not. I'm prostrate. You are strong, God. You are powerful. But it's hard to let go of control sometimes. And I will admit, I struggle with that. I know it was you I was talking to. I was going to say, I think it was you. No, I know it was you. And you got me together and you said you want to let God touch what you want him to touch in your life and not let him touch everything. And that was a hard conversation for us to have. I was mad at you after that. I didn't tell you, but I was angry. I was angry with you. How dare she? However, in my prayer time, he was like, well, you're just mad because she right. That's all. That's it. And that's, but that's hard for someone who is like myself, which is a spoiled believer, where I've always been blessed to know the next 3, 4, 5 steps.
Right.
But my faith has to grow. And that's why all this stuff is happening around us. We as the body of Christ have to grow. I feel like we got stagnant somewhere, and I don't know what happened, because I'm not clergy or anything like that, but we got stagnant somewhere. And we just giving the same amens and hallelujahs. We got to grow.
We get the same book you gave Pentecostal Sunday, the same book you gave when you first came back to church.
See, and he like, okay, all right, well, I saw that already. Well, give it something else. Where's the rest of it?
Right.
And we have to grow. But if we're pushing against growth, well, I'm just going, okay, well, you didn't listen when I made it simple. I'm going to make it hard, because if I have to break you down to be on your face, I will. But it'll be much easier if you submit and go on your own. It's a movie. What is it? The Matrix. It's something, and I've never seen The Matrix. I heard this in a sermon. But it says your understanding is not a prerequisite for compliance. It's not that phrase. You ain't got to understand what's going on, but you're going to do what I said. Comply. That's kind of like being a child, isn't it? You're not going to do, you ain't got to understand why I told you to clean your room or go do this or that. Just do what I said, right? But that's hard from another human entity, but that should be easy from God. Because he knows stuff we'll never know.
Right. And it goes back to, you know, him saying his ways is not our ways. His time is not our time. His will, his word, and his way. And I understand it. Like, there's no intellect that we can possess that can allow us to have that place of understanding when it comes to the things, the timing, the ways, the will, the word of God. Like, even now we have so many, there's over 100 plus interpretations of the Bible. And the Bible was only written in two languages, Greek and Hebrew. It was some little Latin in there, little scatters of Latin. And we still got multiple translations of this one book written in two languages.
And who's to say what was not put in or what was added? Because again, yes, they were men of God. They were still front part of that, men. Still men. And even though we have what we have, there's still interpretation. What I read and what you read, we're going to get two different things out of it.
Right. And it depends on our walk, right? Like, I may be in a place where I'm seeking out faith. You may be straight in your faith, but you're seeking out trust. So I may read scripture, be like, oh, that means I need to have faith in this area. You may read scripture, be like, oh, I need to have trust in that. Same scripture, different revelation because of where we are in our walk with Christ. So, yeah. And so I think when we think about that refreshing moment, we have to be aware of what that moment looks like and what it continues to look like. And realize, like, not comparison. Like, that's the biggest thing. You don't compare somebody else's refreshing moment with the refreshing moment you in. Because y'all in two different levels of refreshing.
Right. And everybody's walk and journey is personal.
Right.
And I struggle with that. I had to learn everybody's not where I am. Everybody's not on the level I'm on. So when certain things happen and people don't respond like how I respond, I always look like, well, what is wrong with you? It's going to be fine. You just look so stupid to me. Why are you acting like that?
I should do me like that first.
And you know, particularly this used to happen with death all the time because, you know, grandma was sick and she died. Okay, well, I know you're sad grandma died, but grandma was here, she was in pain, and grandma was ready to go.
Right.
And you're being selfish by wanting her to have stayed. So, well, that's me. Why would you say that to me? Because it's the truth.
So we know that your grandmother has just passed as well. Is that the same mentality you have when your grandmother passed?
When my grandmother passed, I was sad. And honestly, again, blessed life here. My grandfather passed. My other grandfather passed. Other grandparents have passed. But this was the foundational person closest to me that has ever passed was my grandmother. And I was sad. But a part of me was happy because she was not my grandmother that I had grown up and known to love in that way. She was somebody different already. And then the grandmother she was going to be as a result of what finally ended her life, she wasn't going to be her. And she wouldn't have wanted to be here like that if she was in her right mind. So I got to that point where I was okay with it much faster than anyone else in my life because her children are still, will never be there. They would have let her live to 250 if they could have, in whatever state she was in. But again, that's that level of, that's that difference of faith. To me, death is one of the things that is easily resolvable with your faith. We all have to do it. Like bugs, plants, everything that lives dies.
Mm-hmm.
We owe a death.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hasten it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But we can't, I can't, let me speak for myself. I cannot hold people to the standard that I'm on with God, because that's my walk. Everybody's walk is different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's part of your fortress, right? Like that part of your fortress is so strong because you have that revelation of death is part of life. And if I don't do it, because even the Bible says I die to myself daily. So there's always a space of death there. And so if our fortress is going to be strong and we're going to be in this place of refreshing, we must be okay with dying. Dying to old things, dying to old ways, dying to old mentalities, right? Because the Bible says you can't put new wine in old wineskin, right? And so that simply means I can't put my refreshing, my Holy Spirit, my comforter into a person who's in a position where they're still trying to figure out which God they're going to serve, right? And so I think a lot of times when we're thinking about this space of refreshing, we must definitely, examine the areas of our fortress. What are we losing control to? And what are we surrendering from? Right? And so I think that's a good thing. And before we go, I really want to talk about friendship, because I really feel like in 6 months, friendship just go down a whole nother level, especially friends you have been with for a while. And I'll share with Dee some friendships I'm struggling with. And she was like, well, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I'm like, but girl, this is like 20 plus years of meant to be of my life. And I just didn't get it. And so, you know, as I stated before, Dee has definitely been an awesome friend to me in this season. And I, you know, she knows, she has such a great memory when it comes to how we met and how we became friends. Actually, matter of fact, y'all, okay, so we was at a conference, in a counseling conference, and she knew exactly who I was, and I looked at her like, hi. I don't know
what's your name again. And that's how she treated me. She treated me like I was a stranger on the street.
Because I didn't remember her. So, yeah, we went to college together, but I don't remember her, but she remembers me. I felt invisible in college, but I know a lot of people be like, no, I remember you. And I'm like, how? And this is before I even played. This is before I went natural. It's before all of that. And I'd be like, well, how do you remember me? Because I just felt like I flew under the radar. I don't feel like I was important or anybody saw me that wasn't in my circle. But
you often fail to see your greatness, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. So we were at the conference and I had to present, and I will never ever forget this moment. I was being super presenter that year, because I presented 3 times. I presented, so the conference is 3 days. I presented every day of the conference. But this particular time, I was late. So my first one went great. Like, they were like, oh my gosh, yes, da-da-da-da-da. I love it, and because I am dramatic and I love role playing. Like, so when you come to my presentation, then the 2 things you're gonna get. And this particular presentation was new. It was a new concept. It was biblio counseling. It was something new. It's not new now. It's old, but at the time I was presenting on it, it was very new. And I had told my supervisor at the time, from my licensure supervisor, that I wanted to do a book, and I was going to do it on the Shack, but the Shack was kind of new. It was kind of controversial because it had a lot of God meaning to me. And I loved it because it saved my life. I love the Shack. To this day, the movie is definitely a parallel to the book. So if you've never seen it and you don't want to read, go watch the movie. It is definitely parallel to the book. But I did it on the Velveteen Rabbit. I had never heard of the Velveteen Rabbit, didn't know what the Velveteen Rabbit was about. And so I checked the book. I read about it online. And then I went to go check the book out. And she's like, Shinjuku, it's the best investment ever. As a matter of fact, my godson has the Velveteen Rabbit as a book to this day because it's so great. And so I presented it. I don't even remember how I presented it, but I was late. Y'all had went out and brought a projector for my, I had a Surface. I had brought a projector for my Surface, but the cord didn't work. I was having all these technical difficulties. We had been eating lunch. We went to the Mexican restaurant to eat lunch. I came back late. People was there. And we are in a field where there are more white colleagues than there are black colleagues. Or colleagues of color. And the particular time, the room was pretty much white.
It was pretty white.
And there was this famous colleague in the room. Mm-hmm. And I remember people asking, like, why are you here? Like, why are you in this session? And I remember somebody saying, what this black girl gonna teach me? And y'all, my heart dropped and I was about to cry. And I was so emotional because I was already having technical stuff going on. And her and another friend were in the room and they was like, get it together. Stay calm. It's okay. I know it's not working. And y'all had worked so hard on this PowerPoint presentation and everything. And it was like, you got it. You know what she's supposed to say. Just do it. And y'all, I did the presentation and I did it from the heart. Like, I don't even remember. All I remember is there being a lot of silence. And D said there were a lot of tears. I don't even remember that. And I remember, go ahead. What you
gonna say? I cried.
I just remember like being like, this is how you can use this book for biblical counseling. And it wasn't from a child perspective. It was definitely from an adult perspective. It was a child book from an adult perspective. And so it was just amazing. Like, she was such a great support. And y'all, we don't talk. We usually, up until this year, we only saw each other at the conference. And so, and that's when we connect, like, girl, what you been up to? What's going on? Not that we have each other numbers or anything like that. It's just conferences in November. That's just when we catch up. But this year, the last year and a half has definitely been a renewing, a refreshing of friendship. So in the midst of me losing friends, God will came in with because of my fortress of relationship and friendship and refreshed my friendship list. When I thought I was alone and by myself, like, y'all, we cried together. And I think what I'm saying, I want to tie this all together, bring my spaghetti noodles together. And if you haven't seen the book, there's a book called Women Are Like Spaghetti, Men Are Like Waffles. Great book. But in tying this together, sometimes we have to refresh our friendships. And we can't give up on friends because they seem distant in seasons previously. And so I think that's what I want to say is you have to examine your friendship. You need to definitely, in this next 6 months, I definitely challenge our listeners to examine your friendships. From the sense of three places. One, what am I bringing to the table? Like, what am I bringing to this friendship? Two, what are they bringing to the friendship? And three, how are we stretching each other to go to another level in the friendship? Because if those three things are not happening, then y'all just gossip partners.
That's it.
Y'all just exchanging information. And nobody's growing. And that's not what a friendship is.
Right. I think it's Proverbs. But there's a friend that's closer than a brother. Mm-hmm. See, that's the end. That's the second clause of the scripture. The first part mm-hmm. is about your friends being reliable or rather unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
If you, all your friends are unreliable, that's what it's saying, but there is a friend that sticks closer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just said, what are you bringing to the table? What are they bringing to the table?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need someone that's always paying on your back. That's going to keep you failing in every quarter. You need somebody who's going to challenge you at times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not comfortable. No one wants people to look behind their curtain and point stuff out. We don't like that. Let me fix it. I don't like that. Don't be coming back here. This is my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want nobody touching my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to. We're supposed to be willing to lay down our life for our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means the life of the friendship, because that's what it's talking about.
Right.
Then that's what you have to do if that's what you need to do to be real.
Yeah.
What that person needs.
Yeah. I think we have glamorized friendships. Friends ain't the ones you just go on trips with. Like, if y'all can't go on these trips, get refreshed, and grow each other, challenge each other, I always say, if I can't fight with you, or if I can't say something to offend you and grow you, and we come back from it, then we're friends in the first place. Because my job is to offend. My job as a friend is to offend. I know that sounds crazy, but I can't grow you unless I'm agitating something in you.
Exactly.
She agitates me all the time, y'all. I don't let her know, but she agitates me.
Well, let me let you know and them. I know I agitate you, but that's good. Because guess what happens when I hang up from agitating? What you gonna do? You go into the deepest, most fervent prayer. You probably had some good high praise moment after talking to me, haven't you? Because I've been there after talking to you.
Yes.
Okay.
And we didn't went all the way. Y'all, I have called D, but like, I can't stop. Like, I'm going in. Like,
And I
just be like, she be like, okay, so what is the Lord saying? It's like,
that's what I'm supposed to say.
Here's the thing. That's refreshing, because everybody doesn't understand your gift, and you need friends to understand your gifts.
And see your gifts and not feel threatened by them.
Definitely.
Not be jealous. He gave me what he gave me. He gave me what he gave you. Everybody right. got something, though. No one was left out.
Right.
Everybody got something. And what you use, what you got for, determines what you can do with it. So, because we're therapists. The good of that is we're therapists. We help. But guess what? We can do harm with therapy, too. Mm-hmm. Therapists are natural motivators. Mm-hmm. We are inspirational. We use that for good. There are lots of people that have our skill set that use it for bad.
Yep.
They're called sociopaths. Not psychopaths, sociopaths.
One just died not too long ago.
A psycho or socio? Who died?
Sociopath.
Who died?
Everybody might not agree with that, but
I don't keep up with that. You talking about that main?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't keep up with that.
Mr. Samuels just passed, and everybody may not see it, but he marks the check marks of a sociopath, most definitely. So D, mm-hmm. what are some takeaways? We do this in therapy. What are some takeaways that you've gotten for this conversation?
Well, the number one takeaway is I need to go find that list of, I need to find the list of goals so that I can refresh it, because honestly, I may be further along than I think. I don't remember it, but secondly, we talk about giving grace. We have to give ourselves grace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay for me to not be on step number 17. If I'm on step number 3, I'm taking steps. Giving myself some grace and being patient, because again, there are 4 quarters. It's not just 2. So being patient with myself is definitely something that I'm going to take away from me.
That's
what are you taking away?
I'm taking away, one, I need to check my fortress as well as my posture. Because if my fortress is strong, but my posture is controlling, I can self-sabotage my fortress. I can destroy it. When it's actually his main job is to protect me. So that's definitely one thing. Two, don't be ashamed to be vulnerable with your friends. If they're truly your friends, your vulnerability will either test if they're your friends or your enemies.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and don't be scared to refresh your friendships. Whether it's challenging those friends you currently have to be better friends, to go to the next level as your squad, or letting go of friends so you can be better and make room for the friends that should be there next season.
I love it. I have a friend who will probably listen to this at some point. We've been friends since we were 12 years old. That's a long time because this is our 40 year. And it just gives my heart joy to annoy her. Maybe I like to annoy people. I need to examine it. But anyway, but we were talking earlier today and she's dealing with some things. And as her friend, her real and true friend, my goal is always to push because I see potential. I see potential. But here's the thing that I had to do today. Today I couldn't push. I had to pull. Mm. Pushing and pulling are different. So knowing what your friend, being honest about what your friend needs in the moment is important.
That's good.
Sometimes they don't need you to push. Sometimes they need you getting here and pull me.
Mm-hmm.
Because pushing me isn't helping me, hurting me. Pull me. You know?
Right. Sometimes I'll have the strength to move. So put me in the wagon and pull me on. This definition, right?
Yes, the wagon. I love it.
Well, y'all, thank y'all so much for being here. We truly appreciate it. Dee, thank you so much for being my host, my guest host for this episode. Listen, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. We are on all social media podcast platforms. We're on all social media platforms, except for TikTok. And I think we're going to work on TikTok next. We are definitely on YouTube. Y'all, check out those videos. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Jesus Plus Therapy Sis on YouTube. Make sure you go subscribe. We have some excellent short clips on different topics that we did in May and as a way to salute to Mental Health Awareness Month. Those topics are not just for May, they're year-round, and they're definitely great to go back and look at as we refresh in this 6 months. So, hey, we challenge you, check your fortress, check your friends, and go be refreshed. Y'all have a good one. Bye!
Bye.